Hey, Leon's got a powerful, powerful story, and it is a testimony to God's amazing, redemptive, transforming grace, and we're going to come back to that a little later this morning. Hey, right out of the chute, let me thank you for your incredible response and generosity, and bringing those shoes today, and my thanks to Grant Wright, who ran point and on this, along with Glenn, and we really appreciate that. Thanks again for your participation. And this goes to a good cause in the name of Jesus. So thank you so very, very much. All right, very quickly, I need you to do something. I want you to show off for a minute. Go ahead and flex your muscles. Would you do that? Go ahead. Let's go. Put them out there. That's good. That's impressive. That's good. It's sort of impressive. Now, here's why I ask you to do that. Because a lot of people look at God and say, why? I need you to flex more. I need you to show your stuff. And if you're for real, if the kingdom of God is really here, then why aren't more people uniformly embracing Jesus? If the kingdom of God is really among us, why hasn't evil simply been exterminated? If the kingdom of God is really here, then God, why don't you show your stuff a little more? Flex your muscles. Put the enemy in his place. Those are legitimate questions. Those aren't dumb questions. Those are legitimate, valid questions that Jesus may not fully explain, but listen, he doesn't explain away either. And this morning, very quickly, we're going to take a look at a story that Jesus told, one of his parables. You know, Jesus didn't teach exclusively with stories, but he did use stories. About one third of his teaching is story. He taught 41 parables. He only explained two of them. He said, I've got two that are a little longer, and I'm going to even explain them for you. This morning, we're going to be reading the story, the parable of the wheat and the weeds. We're going to listen to Jesus explain it to us because he's responding to this question. Let me put this key question up on the screen, please. How should we live in a world where the kingdom of darkness coexists with the kingdom of God? All right, I think that's a fair enough question. Okay, here's a story, Matthew chapter 13. Here we go, all right? Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in the field. Now, we don't particularly live in an agricultural society, but, you know, we all can relate to this. And so the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed out in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and they said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed out there in the field? Where then did the weeds come from? Hey, we thought you were sowing and planting good seed. So where did all these weeds come from? And notice his answer. An enemy did this. This is not my intent, but there is an enemy, and an enemy has done this. And so the servants said, well, do you want us to go and pull them up? I mean, look, we're looking out there. We see all these weeds. You want us to rip them up and tear them up? And the owner said something rather interesting. He said, no, I want you to wait. And here's why. You see, Jesus knows his weeds. And there is a particular type of weed in that culture that was almost identical to wheat. And the only way that you could tell them apart is you had to wait till harvest time. Up until then, you couldn't tell the wheat from the weed. And as they grew, their roots would intertwine. And so if you pulled up the weeds, guess what you'd be doing? You'd be pulling up some good wheat as well. And so the owner of this field, listen carefully, it's not that he likes weeds. Not at all. But he's protecting his wheat. And he's saying, I'm going to deal with the weeds, but not today. But just because I don't deal with the weeds today doesn't mean I'm not going to deal with the weeds. Who did this? An enemy did this. Well, you want us to pull them up? Verse 29, no, he answered. Because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first, I want you to collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. All right, there's the story. What does it mean? Let's listen to Jesus as he explains it. Verse 36. Then he left the crowd, went into the house. His disciples came to him and he said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And he answered, the one who sowed the good seed, that's the Son of Man. That's me. That's Jesus. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows the bad seed is the devil himself. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the harvesters are the angels. Gang, let me say it as clearly as I know how based on this teaching. We do not live in a world that is characterized by the absence of evil. But we do live in a world that is characterized by the presence of good. And the Lord says, I need you to understand reality. And reality is the kingdom of God for a period of time is going to coexist right along with the kingdom of darkness. You're going to have wheat and you're going to have weeds simultaneously in your world. All right, I've got four lessons. We'll call it a day. Here it is. Number one, this world is the stage on which Satan continues his opposition to God. I mean, do you believe in a Satan? Do you believe in the devil? I do. Years ago, I decided I'm going to go with Jesus. If Jesus believed in something, I believe in it too. Jesus believes in a real devil. I believe in a real devil. And that he is a formidable force. And you see his residue everywhere. Every time you see something that's broken and tainted, anytime you see something where something has been stolen or adulterated or killed, Jesus says he comes to steal and kill and destroy. And every time possibilities have been thwarted, you're going to see the residue of the evil one. Now listen carefully. Here's the good news. Even though he's for real, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And whatever the evil one has broken or stained or tainted, praise God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be renewed. You can be reclaimed and rebuilt because greater is the Holy Spirit than he that is in this world. And God can bring full restoration to you and to me. But this world is the platform on which the enemy continues to do his work, listen, for just a period of time. Secondly, the enemy cannot destroy the wheat, but he can create less than ideal growing conditions. And so for a period of time, God allows righteousness and unrighteousness to coexist. He allows wholeness and brokenness to coexist. And we're saying, but God, why don't you just flex your muscles? Just go ahead and show your stuff today. You read through the Psalms, what was one of the most frequent laments that you'll find in the Psalms? How long, oh God, how long before you just flex your muscles and set everything right? I'm not going to pull up the weeds today, he says. I'm going to pull them up. There is coming a harvest. But now, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness will coexist for a while. Will you be the kind of person who's not debilitated by that reality? Will you be the kind of person that in faith you can hold on and persevere? Third lesson is this. When we grow impatient for God's vindication, remember, he's waiting for some weeds to become wheat. Lenin once said, not John, but Lenin once said that it would be better to execute 100 innocent persons than to let one guilty person go free. But God is different, and he is patient. And in this age where the wheat and the weeds coexist, he says, and even the angels are going, you want us to go now? You want us to go now? And he's having to hold them back. Let us rip up those weeds today. Not yet, not yet, not yet. Because if you do, you're going to be premature. You know, I've got a harvest date. I've got a harvest date, but it's not today. But it's not today. Well, why not today? Because some of what you think is a weed, in due time, it's going to become a wheat. It's going to become wheat. You're going to look out at a Leon, and you're going to say, oh, he's too full of anger. He's too full of spite. He is such a hard-hearted man. He's just a weed. But you let Gene Cantwell love on him for a bit. You let Gene Cantwell pray over him for a bit. You let Gene Cantwell bring the story of Jesus and the love of Jesus to him. You let the Holy Spirit begin to massage his part. You let the Word of God begin to penetrate his spirit. And all of a sudden, what you thought was a weed, not at all. It's wheat. And now every Sunday, Leon takes communion with you. And every day when you're serving Jesus, he's serving Jesus. And a couple of years ago, I got to stand up here and do the wedding ceremony for Leon and Betty. And they just praise God for what he's done in Leon's life and in your life and in mine. But God, why not today rip up the weeds? 2 Peter chapter 3 says it like this. But do not forget this, one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. And the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. I thank God. I thank God that he's got a heart like that. All right, here's lesson number 4. Harvesting is God's job, and you can rest assured that a righteous harvest of judgment and victory is just around the corner. Just because it's not today doesn't mean it's not coming any day. God has established a harvest appointment. There will be a final period on that final sentence, in that final paragraph, of that final chapter. Listen to the words of Jesus. The harvest, he says, is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And he who has ears, let him hear. You see, this is a parable of hope. This is a parable of perseverance. He's saying to us, yes, the kingdom of God is here. God is fully capable, and you are a part of his kingdom. But for a time, the kingdom of God coexists with the kingdom of darkness, and that does create less than ideal growing conditions. But here's the promise. The harvest is coming. Jesus will be back. He will lead one long victory parade. He will flex his muscles. And there is a place prepared for the enemy and his angels. The question is, can you handle that reality? Can you handle the reality of life in the kingdom of God that for a while you see wheat and you experience the weeds? You know, occasionally people will ask me, they'll say, "Hey, Ronnie, you think the world's getting better or worse?" My answer is yes. I really do. I mean, do I think the world's getting better? I do. I really believe the world is getting better and better and better. Because you look around our world and you will see wheat everywhere. And it is exciting to me to see young men and women who are passionate for Jesus and who already are thinking about sacrifices that you can make to advance the kingdom of God. And I love it that I see dads who take their role seriously and fathers who don't just want to provide. I mean, that's a good, noble, manly thing that you want to work hard and help to provide. But men who really want to communicate with their sons and daughters and pass along a healthy baton of faith. That's fantastic. And I see women who love God and who seek to find their spiritual gifts and use those gifts. And if they're a wife or mom, likewise, they want to take their giftedness and nurture their children in such a courageous way. I see one fantastic expression after another that our world is getting better and better and better. You see wheat everywhere, praise God. Don't you? And I believe our world's getting worse and worse. There are weeds as well. You can turn on a television set and the story of Jesus becomes fodder for blasphemy. And the name of Jesus is blasphemed as a way of getting a laugh. We live in a culture that an unborn child can be aborted in the name of a choice. And we live in a day where people just love their own opinion. Man, they love their own opinion. And everybody does what's right in their own eyes. And the world is getting worse and worse. And what's happening? Answer, the weeds are maturing towards a harvest. And the wheat is maturing towards a harvest. So I have an admonition for you. In the words of Romans chapter 12, do not be overcome with evil, but rather you overcome evil with good. In other words, he says, don't give in to despair. Don't become the kind of person that when you look at the world, all you see are weeds. Well, you know, we got this problem, you got that problem, you turn on the TV, you hear this, you got this issue in some church, and all you see are weeds, and you give in to despair and to despondency, and you say, oh, well, there's just evil everywhere. No, there's also the presence of wheat, and you can be that force. Rather than, oh, overcome with evil, what's the use, you know, who cares, what difference does it make? No, don't be overcome with despair. You overcome that with good. Don't be the kind of person who says, oh, what's the use, I'm just going to buy a van and move to New Mexico. And And I've got another admonition for you. Even if you've been a weed, you may have been the kind of person where you've actually led other people away from Jesus. You may have been the kind of person that Jesus talks about. You've actually been the instrument of temptation. Even if that's been you, I want you to hear the message today that God loves you so very much. And He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And for you and me today, wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever kind of weed you've been, you can turn to Jesus Christ with a mustard seed of faith. He will receive you, and as you are baptized into His name, all your sins are washed away. And you're not just baptized into the name of a church. You were baptized into Christ, and His righteousness becomes yours. Okay, so will you be the kind of person who's not debilitated by the fact that right now you live in a world with weeds and wheat? And will you be the kind of person who says, rather than give in to despair because there are weeds, I'm going to be the kind of person who's an instrument for good, and I know that there is a final harvest coming, and our good God will do a good job of harvesting and separating and rewarding. All right? Now, why don't you take a look at your order of worship, that communication card. Make sure it's filled out. If you've got a prayer request on that, if you'll just fill out your prayer request. And once you've finished with that card, you can just pass those cards to the ends of the aisle, and they will be collected during our final song. Now, it may be that this morning you'd like to pray with one of our church leaders here. And when this service is over, when we say our final amen, I'm going to ask some of our elder couples to be down front, make their way down here. And if you'd like to come down and pray with one of them, we would be happy and eager to have a time of prayer with you. We can walk off to a side room somewhere and just have a chance to have a conversation and prayer together. Okay, why don't you stand right where you are, and let's sing together our concluding song.
Jesus, You are the Savior.